Translation of Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, Sri Krishna, appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own potency. How can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. Purport. Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic scriptures fully explain Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears in human society as an ordinary human being, but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. One should not be influenced by the illusory energy and think Lord Krishna to be an ordinary human being. Those who really seek the absolute truth come to the understanding that Krishna is everything, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Such great souls are very rare. Nonetheless, if one studies the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna is very easy to understand. Krishna conscious movement is just trying to make Krishna known all over the world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. People take this movement seriously, their lives as human beings will be successful. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purports of the 7th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. End of the purport. Vrindavane ramanareti prasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule gyanam param paramai krishna sadharma chuktam dandasta deva prabhupada namo namaste. Sangsara dukkha jalato patitasya kama krodadi nakrama karai kavali krutasya duravashana nikaditasya narasvayasya chaitanya chandramam dehe padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesi Kishoro Sahajaragana Vrindai Kridamana Vrjesho Natabara Jitavesho Nilapitam Baradyo Jagadajananaheto Ramakrishna Natosmi Manchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasana Vivacha Pritanam Pavani Bhuvishnavi Bhunamunama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So our business as human beings is to hear and chant about the glories of the personality of Godhead and his energies, his potencies. And that's the business as human beings. Now, you do not do that unless you're enlivened, unless that personality has touched your heart. Just like I remember from Pundarik Tulsi Stotram, where he mentions Badanjalim, that Badanjalim means grateful palms. Kritanjali is you're folding your hands respectfully. But Badanjalim is basically means grateful palms. It means that you're not coming empty-handed. That person has changed your life tangibly. Therefore, you're not coming empty-handed. You go to the temple to see the deities, saintly persons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his spouse, Tulsi Rani, like that, with something in your hands, give in kind, give some flowers, some fruit, something, or some stuti, some praises, like that. That person has changed your life. So, basically, any form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead changes the heart and purifies one. So it depends who you're attracted to. That's all. Krishna is a chitchor. He loves to steal. And therefore, our business as devotees is to help him steal. That's all. And it's actually a wonderful thing. When you actually do it, he actually takes charge and controls the entire material energy and makes everything favorable for the devotee. Mayanakulenanda Bhashvateratam, Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5 says, Krishna says, I'm going to be manifested as the favorable breezes of the Vedas, like that. Basically, favorable breezes about everything. Tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Those who are engaged in serving me with devotion, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So many times, I can't tell you, that actually Krishna really looks after his devotees. If the devotee makes an arrangement, it's okay. And if not, Krishna will do it. Just like I was traveling somewhere. was the end of last month, and I remembered at the last minute that I forgot to make arrangements. Who's going to pick me up? You know, who's going to collect me? It turned out there was a devotee waiting in the airport for his father to come in. So he picked me up. His father came out and said, take him to the other temple. So they take him to the nearby temple, and then they took me to the other temple. So it worked out. Basically, that's what happens. If you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you don't make an arrangement, they will. They don't leave their devotee high and dry anywhere. So our business is to hear and chant about their pastimes, which are purifying. It doesn't matter the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one does it, then one becomes purified and happy. There is a nice verse, 12th Canto, chapter 12, verse 48. Sankirtimano Bhagavan Ananta. If one hears and chants the pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shutana Bhavo Vyasanang Hipong Som, then all the dirt that's in a person's heart, hearing that, all the dirt in the person's heart goes away. Pravishya chittam viduno dasesham. The glories of the Supreme Personality of God, it enters the heart of the living entity and cleanses him of all kalmasa, of all dirt. Yata tamo arko. Just like the sun destroys the fog. Brahmivati vataha. Or clouds, just like the clouds is pushed away by the strong wind. The strong wind. So, when you're in living in places like England, it was very funny. When Prabhupada came here in 69 or something, one journalist asked him, what is your definition of hell? And Prabhupada said, what's the matter? England's not cold enough for you? England's not hellish enough for you? Very funny. The next day, the journalist put it, Swamiji says that England is hell, you know? It's kind of funny. So, when things are bleak outside, which is all winter, you know, then you have to become internal. You have to hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. And that's where fun is. Actually, hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, irregardless of what form of the Lord is happiness for the living entity. The living entity becomes happy and purified and peaceful, you know, to the extent that they do that. It's not enough. Just like, you know, I pass it out. As Jayadvaita Maharaj said, Swamis are the most munificent of those with hard drives, you know? You know, we pass it out to people. Yeah, it's easy to pass it out to somebody. Yeah. Are they going to learn it? That's another thing, you know? Actually, you have to be impressed by it to learn something. If you want to learn something, it means it has to impress you. That's why you learn something. So the glories of somebody, of the personality of God or his potencies, if their glories impress you, then you learn it. And when you hear and chant it again and again, then you get vijnana, realization of what that means, those glories mean. And they enter the heart. And because the Supreme Personality of God and his potencies exist everywhere, therefore, they're on the tip of the tongue in the form of that glorification. That is non-different from them. And what's nice about them is that although we have our idiosyncrasies and although we have our inferiority complex, basically people don't love us. They basically tolerate our existence, you know. But Krishna is within everyone's heart, even in the cockroaches. You know, even in the bug, even in the virus, like that. So what is nice about it is that somebody is willing to be your friend. And that is very comforting. Very comforting. that somebody's within your heart and is ready to be your friend. Just like I was meditating on Pundarik Tulsi Stotram, it says that because of her, Tulsi Rani, it says that she gives hope to the hopeless. In Shloka 4. And I meditate on that. Sometimes people that are vastly sinful people, they have to be put in a lock, they're put up in a lockup, and they have to be put on suicide watch so they don't end up killing themselves. They're so depressed with themselves. So Tulsi Rani gives hope to the hopeless that somebody will love you, irregardless of what it is. Now that, I'm wondering if that's part of her strategy. She was worshipped by the demigods and the demons. And it's considered that she is better than Lakshmi Devi. Evidently, the Anumana I was thinking about could only be that evidently Lakshmi Devi is partial only to her devotees. But Tulsi Rani is dearer because she wants to steal the hearts of the demons and purify them. So what is her strategy? First strategy could be, well, I'll give hope to the hopeless. And then the next strategy is, let them offer her to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it'll be more potential. The next thing I saw, another part of her strategy, was this kavacham from Brahmanda Purana, the protective armor of Tulsi. Lord Shiva tells his son, whatever desire you've got, if you approach her, you can get it. Don't doubt about it. Now, we may doubt about it. I like that word, asamsaya, don't doubt about it, you know? Because we may have a doubt, and the material world doesn't work like that. You know, people get cheated all the time. So we have a doubt about it. But if you take shelter of this internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no doubt. If they like it, they'll help you. What is cool about it is I was meditating on the qualities as Jagadatri, the mother of the universe. Our biological mother has limitations. How much they can help a kid. It depends on facility. It depends on influence, like that. It's not what the parents want the kid to be. It's what the kid is. They have to take that into consideration. But Tulsi Rani is completely different. She has no spirit. She has no material body. She's got a spiritual body. And if you want to serve Krishna, she'll help you get it done. She can open doors that were shut tight. If it's beyond your karma, you can get it done. And that is cool. That is really cool. People offer so much respect to their elderly parents, and they serve them. But the parents are limited. And somebody that's unlimited, they give her stepmotherly treatment. It's weird. If they had a brain, it'd be dangerous. You know, it's like, I remember that there was some guy, must have been Humphrey Bogart, or I don't know, in the 1950s. They said, if you haven't got a brain, we can't help you, you know. It was funny like anything, you know. Or another guy, you know, one actor's talking to an actress, and he goes, God, if you had a brain, you'd be dangerous, you know. It's pretty funny, you know. It's all this old stuff, you know, from 60 years ago or something like that. It's really funny, you know, really funny. But actually, people are really stupid. By chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his consort, you can achieve everything the living entity wants. And a lot more, you know? And a lot more. And you can go beyond your karma, completely beyond your karma, and become so satisfied and happy beyond your karma. So Krishna does that. And his consort does that to the devotees. And they're not at all difficult. All we have to do is step forward, just a little initiative. And they're ready to help you. Even the smallest initiative, they're ready. Just like I was reading in Hari Bhakti Shraddha Daya. And the Yamadutas are quoting from the Tulsi Van Mahatmyam in Skanda Purana that we don't know why Narayana likes this plant, Tulsi. He is waiting in a forest of Tulsi for somebody to offer him one leaf. The most insignificant thing. Just offer me one leaf, you know. It's such a neat, interesting thing. But actually, and basically, she does a lot more. As a thief, as a stealer, she does a lot more. It was cool. I remember in Soho about 2-3 years ago, you know, one girl was taking care of Tulsi Devi. And where'd the other one go? Oh, she went to, you know, she went to South America to marry Mr. Wright. And did she train you up? Nope. Oh, come on. We got to, like, invent the wheel all over again? That's not fair. So I called Sananda Kumar in Vancouver to help her with her qualms. Before I could even open my mouth to talk about, you know, leaves are yellow, dirt is dead, you know, whatever. Bugs are infesting, whatever. So many prompts. He went, female psychology. What do you mean? She does it all the time. What do you mean? He's from Kerala. And he goes, you know the Bollywood flicks. The girl wants to attract the boy, so she does a drama like she's weak or something. He says, she's Atmarama. She's satisfied by she's married to Lord Vishnu. She's satisfied by love. And she doesn't need anything from anybody, but she's a female. She does this strategy. I thought, that was pretty cool. I go, do you got anything else? Yeah. He goes, 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. Then I'd rate a sweat for her. Never know who she is. Well, now that's cool. Because they got her. Everyone's got her. A lot of devotees keep her for religious purposes. We don't do anything for her. But we've got her. One lecturer in India, Mayavadi, Gujarati, Mayavadi, he's not exactly a devotee. But he said something pretty cool. One Gujarati devotee told me about it, and I really liked it. He said, on the balcony, they're keeping a Tulsi for the religiosity, to show off their religiosity. But in their refrigerator, they're keeping eggs. Now, what kind of Hindu is dead? You know? And I really laughed at it, like it. It was very funny. You want to know what kind of character somebody's got? Open their refrigerator. Then you know completely where they're at. It was funny like anything. But they're trying to keep a religiosity stereotype, but they're not ready to do anything for it. It was really sad. Because I saw in some places of the world, they're actually very much neglecting her. And I said, tell the women's ministry. You know, the woman that's getting the shaft the most is Tulsi Reddy. You know, she's getting the shaft like anything, you know. They don't really care. They should actually take care of her better than they're taking care of the deities. They should take care of her much better. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Jai Gornatai, Sitaram Lakshmananaman, Shaligram Gan, Tulsi Rani, Jai. They should take care of her much better than the deities. Then the deities will be happier. Prabhupada always was saying that dress Radharani more beautiful than Krishna, then Krishna will be happy to stay. You know? So it's like that. Recently I found out some very astonishing stuff. Then actually, Radharani manifests herself as Tulsi Devi. And that was cool. If she's not going to steal your attention one way, she's going to steal it another way. You know? She has other strategies, other tricks up her sleeve. She manifests herself as Subal too. You know? And that was cool when I found that out. You don't have smoking gun Sanskrit. A lot of Sanskrit is not like that. It's inferred. But it's like 99.99%. It's so close, you know, it's like, has to be really, some person has to be really stupid not to see the obvious, you know. Some people are just really stubborn and they just refuse to submit. It's very interesting. Is the Supreme Lord or his consort is not about to force you. But that doesn't stop them from doing what they want to do anyway. Your stupidity, your knowledge or lack of knowledge is not going to stop them from doing what they want to do anyway. And I really appreciated that. So when I found this out recently in the Sanskrit, and I thought, it is interesting, due to embarrassment, like I'm a Krishna Balaram Bhakta. I like Krishna Balaram. If you like Balaram, then it means Radharani should take a back seat somewhere. Really, that's what it means. You don't want to embarrass her by glorifying Balarama in front of her like that. And Balarama understands that she's a bit embarrassed about it. So he manifests himself as Radharani's younger sister in order to serve her love for Krishna, like that. Still, I was so satisfied when I stumbled across this thing that Radharani is the original form of Tulsi Devi. And I thought, how interesting it is. I was always appreciating Vrindadevi's diplomacy, that during the lover's quarrel between Radha and Krishna, she's not going to take sides. She was very diplomatic. She likes Krishna. She likes Radharani. She's not going to take any sides. So that was, I was always appreciating the diplomacy about it. But now I understand it. It makes sense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all of the goddesses of fortune ultimately emanate from Radha. Yeah, it makes sense. But to see it in one Sanskrit talk about it is pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting strategy. Yet they're completely, it's interesting. They're simultaneously one and different. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. So she has her manifestation as Subal, and she manifests herself as Vrindadevi. And probably all the other gopis of Vrindavan as well. And yet, they maintain their individual existence. Interesting stuff. You know? Interesting stuff. But the whole idea of it is, if they're not going to steal you one way, they're going to steal you another way. You know? It was so funny. Because see, in the UK, where it's really cold, as you all know, you know, and people, they just are really stubborn. They don't get a lamp for their Tulsi. It's weird. They want to think that they're still in India. They're not. They're in the UK. They got to act. It's different. One Lithuanian devotee heard me tell, I said, look, if you get a lamp for your Tulsi, 99% of your problems are solved. I said 90%. He actually went that far. His Tulsi was dying on him, and he got a good lamp for it, and he was shocked. Boom, she bounced right back. And like that. So I remember once when I was in Swansea in Cardiff area, one girl said, look, how am I going to convince my husband about this expenditure? And he said, oh, I got an idea how you can do that. I said, you take a hundi, a donation box, and put it in front of your Tulsi. And every day you offer her pranam and offer one British pound. Dink. And they said, and after 180 days, you got enough for your lamp. There you go. Then later on, she sent me an email. She goes, I can't believe it. You know, householders, they got your fingers in five different directions. You know, like that. Multitasking in five directions. She got money flying from all different directions. I goes, here it is. Vishnu's wife is not a poor girl. I said, if she likes what you're doing, basically she wants to see Pariksha. You have to pass the test of determination. You're determined, she'll pay for it. She'll bankroll it, you know. She's not a poor girl at all, you know. She can do anything she likes, you know. And she can bankroll anything. All it is just a little determination. Put your best foot forward. That's all. It's a byasana. Just get moving, you know. And when you move and when you're convinced, if you're not ready to apply something, it means you have no shraddha. You have no faith in it. If you apply something, it means you really like it. So we have to become convinced of something strong and do it. And if we do that, they take over the rest of it. Tesham nityabha yuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyam. For those who are worshiping me, I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. And they actually do it big time. And that is actually really impressive. When they do it to you, it's actually impressive. It'll be beyond, if you just try, It'll be beyond your karma. It'll be beyond your experience. It'll be beyond your understanding. How wonderful, how sweet, and how beautiful it is. And they'll bankroll every single bit of it. They'll provide every single bit of it that their devotee requires. We just have to have faith in them and love them. And that is the most amazing thing about Krishna. The essence of bhakti is love. I remember in 1985, I saw Prabhupada's godbrother. He left his body on, I think, March 3rd of 2009 at the age of 93. In 1985, okay. So what was that? That means 24 years ago, something like that. So, 24 years ago, yeah. 24 years since he left means he was 70 at the time, 69, 70 or something. And I asked him, if you got your deities and you're traveling, how are you supposed to do your deity worship? If it's more than 24 hours, then you travel. Manasa, do it by the mind. And we weren't trained in that. We didn't know what the heck is that. But Krishna accepted like the external. He screamed at me. Why not? Provided the love is there. Oh, really? The love is the main thing, you know? It's not the item. It's the love behind the item. When you're actually helpless and you try your best, you do everything mentally, try your level best and do it mentally where you can't do physically, then Krishna takes care of the rest. And it's actually even sweeter than the external. When you actually do something mental, it's actually even sweeter than the external. That's cool. When you're actually helpless, when you're actually dependent, and you do everything like you do it externally, you're impossible to get the same facility. You cannot do it. You do it externally in the mind. And if it's more dependent, you even get much more value and more satisfaction and more benefit than you do as if you did it external. It was cool. It actually works. The love is the most important thing. If the love is there, then the attention will be there. That is really cool. So if anybody hears and chants the glories of that of their particular Ishtadev or Ishtadevi deity, then the glories enter your heart and purify. And they are everywhere manifested. Just like I was seeing two verses. One verse is from Stava, Tulsi Stava of Padma Purana Shrishtikanda, Shloka 14. I made a stained glass panel. I liked it so much. That as the Ganga is manifested in the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, Tulsi is manifested in the moving and non-moving living entities. I thought, Lord Vishnu is everywhere in everyone's heart. His wife is not? Of course she must be. Then, from Upanishad, Avriksha Vriksha Rupa Si, she has tree and non-tree forms. That was interesting. That's interesting. She's manifesting herself as a tree to serve for us to serve her, but she's not limited to that. You can think of her, and she's there. That is cool. That is cool. And 24/7, even in the middle of the night, you can call out to them, and they'll come in their heart and call you. How charming it is. It is so pacifying. It is so peaceful. It is so wonderful. And it works. And you really need that, especially in the winter. Of course, impersonalism does not wait for any season. You know, winter, summer, fall, impersonalism is there. But when it's cold, miserable outside, and you think of them, then they warm you up. They come straight in your heart and they warm you up. And that is cool. Now, one in Sanskrit, one thing we're referring to her as Shama. Now, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, refers to that kind of gopi, who is a Shama woman, and whose presence you feel warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And her breasts are very firm. Ushnakali bived ushno, shita tushitala, stano su kantito yasya sa shama parikirtita. Something like that. So Vrindadevi is described like that. Basically, she's very warming. She's very pacifying, and she's very there. And all you have to do is call her name, and then she comes. What's cool is she is a manifestation of Radharani. It's cool. It's interesting. If they're not going to steal you one way, they're going to steal you another way. I like the strategy. It's cool stuff, you know. Really is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead or His consort is ever available for their devotees. They simply have to hear and chant. They're glorious. And then it becomes so pleasing and so pacifying and so purifying. And the more we do that, we become happy. Because pravisichittam vidunota seisham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead enters the heart on that sound vibration and cleanses all dirt from the heart of the devotee. Yata tamo arko. Like the sun is clinging off the fog. Brahmivati vataha. Or the clouds are blown away by the strong wind. Really cool stuff. So our business is to do that. Any shastra that you like, we hear and chant about it. It's not different. And what is so nice about it is that it's more than just simply reading. It's actually imbibing. You actually have to just like, it has to dig you. It has to become part of you. And it becomes really neat. It becomes ecstatic. I'll never forget it. In 82... between 78 and 82 in America, I was a pujari, quote unquote head pujari. It means you're the only pujari. You do everything, Jack. You know? That was the way it was. And so there was a darshan. Prabhupada was visiting, an Indian man from Chicago was visiting Prabhupada in Dallas. Typical stuff. And he said, I went to your temple and I got too much prasad. The Prabhupada said, no, Gauranga's philosophy is a kanta bhojan kori, eat up to the neck. I'll never forget. There was a life member, a very humorous man from Himachal Pradesh, Kulu. And he was a botanist, and he was in charge of a big park, the botanical gardens in the big park. And he would come every, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, or something like that. He would come and take lunch in the temple. And after he would take lunch, he would come and see the deities. So I would give him some mahaprasadam for the deities. Not very many people came to see Gornatai after that. So I would give him mahaprasadam. He'd bring his children sometimes. Kids, they're in their four, they're not very tactful. These legalized burglars, you know, at this age, you know. They're not very tactful. So, and I knew enough Hindi even then, you know. Even then, I would talk with him. I said, Lelo Premchand, Tora Marapasai Lelo. Na 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 na, Jadamadena, Tora Dena Hatse. Don't give me so much, just give me a little bit in the hand. And his children were pulling on his trousers, P2G Cello McDonald's. Eat up to the neck, then you're not going to eat, have any room to eat any nonsense. So I laughed and I said, Premchand, your children are exposing you. And he blushed red. Oh man, he blushed so, he was so red. It was funny. I laughed like anything. Then the next thing was, Then the Indian man said, and in the arti, they were playing a cassette tape instead of singing. Really? If there was no one to sing the arti, the pujari should have sung. And I thought, wait a minute. Hey, that's my job. So that was exactly my situation. Nobody comes to see the deity in the daytime. You're there by yourself. So I started to sing for the deities. He stopped memorizing shlokas and started memorizing bhajans. And it turned out to be the happiest time of my life. Your feet would not even touch the ground. You were so happy. I mean, you're working like a dog. You know, 20 hours a day, sleeping 4 hours at that. I was stashing Mahaprasadam, a little bit of the deity stuff. And I was eating it at 10 o'clock at night. Because once it goes in, it has to come out. You know, so then in order to save time from taking bath, then I was eating it at 10 o'clock at night. And then, you know, and serving Tulsi Devi, you know, I had a 25 Tulsi trees or something like that. And it's just a lovely time. Lovely time. And all you do is just sing the glories of the Lord. And it's just a happy time for devotees. It's just such a happy period. When I think about it fondly, I don't hold anything in my heart as dear as those 4 years. So when you think about it, the essence of that was singing the glories of the Lord. That is what human beings should do. When you do that, you actually then that time becomes the most memorable period of your life. So we have to get back to that, to actually singing the glories of the Lord. When you actually do that, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non different from those glories. And they give themselves to their devotees in the form of their glories. And it's actually what we're supposed to do. And the time when we did that, like I meditate very fondly on those 4 years. But actually the substance of those 4 years is singing the glories of the Lord. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That is actually what made those 4 years astounding. But what is even more astounding is the misuse of my independence. That why didn't those years just continue? Why I didn't continue? It's probably due to donkeyness. It's like a stubborn unwillingness to serve Krishna. Basically. We actually have to do it. And you can't wait for somebody else to do it for you. You have to do it, actually. When you actually do it, anybody becomes happy. Chipper, the whole idea of this material world is that this is hell. As long as we've got a body in this material world, any situation is hell. And if we hear and chant about Krishna, it becomes heaven. Hell becomes heaven. Even in the midst of the greatest misery. Because the glories are non-different, and you're actually situated in the spiritual world when you chant the glories. So this is actually what we're meant to do, whether it is Krishna or whether it is spouse, his consort. When you hear and chant their glories, they enter the heart in those form of those glories, and they purify you and enliven you. And you feel their presence extremely strong in the form of their glories. They don't leave you. Anybody else in this material world may leave us. And they surely do. Mostly they tolerate our existence. They don't really love you. They just tolerate you. But what is really charming is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead loves every living entity. And his spouse, his shakti, his potency, loves every living entity. And they're ready to help you in any way. Our business is simply to love them. And when they do that, they take over. And the devotee becomes happy beyond their karma. And that is actually amazing. It actually goes beyond your karma. It's actually literally, I would never get this. You would never get this. You just simply hear and chant, and the Supreme Lord becomes pleased, and you go beyond your karma. I always laugh about it. In the material world, you want to get a hold of somebody. You write their mobile number down. But they, in the evening, they turn off their phone. They just want their space. But they're not their spouse. Uh-uh. She doesn't turn her phone off. Uh-uh. You know? And you call him. I mean, I'm looking at your husband. Where in the hell is the guy? He's right here. If it's interesting. Let us use our brains. If you want to get to the Supreme Personality of God, go through his wife. She gets your foot in the door faster than anybody ever did, you know. But, you know, if you haven't got a brain, we can't help you. You know, it just, you know, it's like when I meditate on it, a lot of people, they don't worship her. Why? Because they're unfortunate. They're stupid. You know, if somebody can give you liberation, all material desires, all long duration of life, all health, all wealth, you got to be pretty stupid not to take advantage of that. You know? You got to be pretty stupid not to take advantage of it. What's going to be cool if I find out from the Puranas, how does she want, what is her strategies for stealing the demons? That I want. The non-devotees. How does she steal the demons? I want to find out that strategy. A couple of her strategies I already found out in Sanskrit, and it's pretty cool stuff. Some of the other strategies I want to find out in Sanskrit also. And evidently, it's eternal, nah? She's doing it all the time, so it's a question of begging. You have to beg, and you have to want it, and you have to dig for it. And if it's actually there, it'll be manifest, you know? And the thing about it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His potency is not at all ashamed of something that's a fact. And they actually have this potency. They're not ashamed of it. It's a straightforward thing. And you just simply have to beg for it. And you have to hanker for it. And you have to dig for it. And then if they're pleased, they'll drop it in your lap and make your day. The pramanam, the evidence, will be dropped in your lap, and then you'll be on cloud nine, just dancing the whole day. Ah, you know, the whole day. And it's interesting stuff. So I was meditating on it. There's so many questions that come. When you're dealing with Sanskrit stuff, there's tons of questions that come. So I was telling my Sanskrit pundit disciple, it's great because it gives us an opportunity to beg. When we have a question, and it's just like burning you from the inside. Those are the good kind of questions. Then you ask that question to 100 people or more, you know? And you, different devotees give different paradigms from different things. And it drops in your lap. When you actually please the Supreme Lord or His Shakti, His consort, then they'll drop the pramanam in your lap and make your day. But can you ever be satisfied? No. Because when you taste the sweetness of the personality of Godhead or His spouse, the Sanskrit says, see, it's interesting. It's satisfying. At the same time, you want more. Sanskrit says like that, who could be satisfied? You can't be satisfied. It's satisfying. At the same time, you want more, you know. So it's cool. It allows you to beg. And it allows you to beg, and you want to beg more and more. And they give you something. And you go, well, that was nice. Thank you very much. Can you give a little more? Basically what it is, it's the same thing like doing any service. Krishna's a chitchor. He's not interested in what you put in front of him. He wants what's behind your back. You know? And, you know, your kamkrodha, lobha, maha, moha, matsarya, whatever, all that. You just have to give that. And then they give themselves to you. It's cool stuff. It actually works. So whatever you give them, then and the deities are chitchors. They just simply want to steal. No? Now you say like, hey, wait a minute, time is short. Nah, we got to run. So I don't have the freedom today to give everything that I would like to give to the Supreme Personality of God. We want to make it short, okay? But if he doesn't like that, then he's going to do his chitchor program. What he does, he says, hey, why don't you give me this? It'll only take you 5 minutes. Yeah, okay, I can give that. It'll only take 5 minutes. Could do. And then after you give them that, then he goes, thank you very much. Now, why don't you offer me this? It'll only take you 5 minutes. Yeah, it'll only take you 5 minutes. Then look at your watch an hour and a half later. These tricky fellows, they did that, you know. The personality of God is very tricky, you know. They just want love. They just want you to give something, you know. It's so tricky when they do that, you know. I didn't have time. But we spent an hour and a half with you, you know, and you just simply stole it, you know. It was very funny, you know. They do it all the time, you know. They do it all the time. I have my altar, electronics, and it was made in Ukraine. And electronics is supposed to last you 1 year, and it started to break after 2 months. Why? Then I understood the deities are chit-chores. They're making an excuse. They wanted to steal the hearts of the electric technicians. Now you got to fix it, now. I understood it. The deities are chit-chores. They simply wanted to make a thievery of it. They wanted it. They made an excuse, now. And I loved it. It's very funny. And they give you the brains. Well, Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam. Okay, I have to fix it. I have to do it. They'll give you the brains. How to do it. How to do it. Get it like this. Approach this person, get this thing, and it'll get stuck. You know, amazing stuff. Happens all the time. Our business is to, Krishna is a chit-chore. His consort is a chit-chore. They want to steal the heart. And our business is to help them steal it. That's all. And the more we help them steal it, then they'll let us join the thievery party. Not of our own qualification. But our spiritual master grabbed us and offered us to them. So they're responsible now for us. Who is qualified to attain Krishna's pastimes? No one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, his representative, grabbed us, purified us, gave us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead feels responsible to help us. That is actually cool stuff. So our business is to, like this marathon and this and that. If the books that changed your heart are the ones you like to pass out to people. Of course, sometimes, you know, not everybody's going to see things your way. So this is why in the old days we used to have a big book bag we used to carry with us with all types of small books and stuff like that to give people. But our favorite book was the one that changed our heart. That was the one we pushed the most. And we distributed the most. You know, that was basically it. Hare Krishna. We want to thank all the sadhus and sadhvis that have tolerated our existence. We're in Ayaram Gayaram. Rama's coming, Rama's gone. You know, so we're out the door. Off to another adventure, another place, you know. Krishna will do something. We don't know what it is sometimes, you know. But he does something. Any questions now?